Hey, here's your delivery from Staples.com.
Thanks, Staples guy. My office needs coffee bad. Got any?
Yep, and at a low price.
You have cups?
Staples has 12-ounce cups, 8-ounce recyclable.
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners?
Stirs, filters, creamers, sweeteners, K-cups.
Hazelnut, French vanilla, French roast, dark, light, medium, bold, extra bold?
And decaf.
Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Why would you say that?
No reason.
Make on budget happen. Make caffeinated happen. Staples, make more happen. Now at Staples, get a one-pound bag of Starbucks coffee for just $9.99.
Offer valid in-store and online. Ends 5/16 while supplies last. See store staples.com for details.
Health insurance is on everybody's mind right now. You either don't have it, or you have it and you think it's too expensive. And you probably feel like you don't have any options. We can help. We are the Health Markets Insurance Agency. We offer health insurance plans from major carriers nationwide and likely have a plan that can save you money. Whether you're self-employed, on a COBRA plan that's about to expire, or you simply don't have health insurance where you work and you need it, the Health Markets Insurance Agency can help you. Our agents will help you find coverage you can afford. Health Markets Insurance Agency is an authorized agency in all 50 states, including the District of Columbia. Plans may not be available in all states. 800-608-1830. 800-608-1830. 800-608-1830. 800-608-1830.
Hi, this is Paul Molloy, host of Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show. Heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Please join us and our guests as we focus a libertarian spotlight on what's happening in our politics and culture. If you thought our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence really did stand for individual freedom, then you'll be coming to the right place. Again, that's Freedom Works, The Paul Molloy Show, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You could have lunch with the king.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You could have lunch with the queen. Or you could have lunch with the chamber. Every Monday at noon, join your host Alex Petro for an insider's look at local business. The latest news, who's who in local business, plus special guests who offer a unique perspective on what matters most, local business. Lunch with the chamber, Mondays from noon until 1, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Mama Mac, and my co-host Dr. Angel Falzoni is sitting right here, and we're ready for a great show tonight, Doctor.
Yes, we are. I'm very excited about tonight's show.
Boy, I am too. If you are new to Go Yard, we've been on since September. Every Thursday night, we are also now syndicated in the Starcom Media Network, which airs 5 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays. And basically, that show is always a week behind. It's the show. This show will be on next week on the Starcom Media at 5. And this is live right now on the Tantalk 1340.com network, which you can just go to that website and listen in and hear us live and or... You can do your tune-in radio thing That's an app that you can do. And also, you can just go 1340 AM on your radio dial. And so all those ways work. We are excited about being on the Starcom Media Network. And Dr. Angel, what a joy, because that was a goal of ours, and it happened for us sooner than what we thought it would.
Much sooner than we thought it. So it's been
awesome. Since the middle of January. And so welcome, Starcom Media Network listeners scattered in different countries and in many areas of the United States. So we're live in Clearwater, Florida right now, and it's a gorgeous 91 degree day, and I think summer is here, Doctor, along with the humidity.
Oh, it is so here. I feel like I'm melting.
I know. We've got a great show. You know, we've had a lot of different topics. People can go to our website, goyard2014.org.
Yes.
There we go. I'm going to say it one more time, goyard2014, because that's the year we started this, last year, .org. And we have all of our shows through April. At the end of each month, our webmaster Dan goes and brings all the shows from the month on the podcast here at Tantalk 1340 and puts them on our website where they stay. They are there indefinitely, or until Jesus comes. So you can go there anytime and listen. So we welcome you to go there and listen to shows again and again, especially ones that you really felt like you missed some of the important facts. Dr. Angel, you are a resident expert. I am not with a counseling degree, but years of counseling as a pastor and teacher, et cetera. But you've got the degrees. You've got them all, and the PhD and the licensed mental health counseling certification, which brings the expertise that we need to this show. And so it's a joy to work with you, and it's fun. And a few months ago, we did a show called Questions and Answers. We had a lot of good response from that. And these were actual questions that had come in through our website, or, by the way, let me give our email address, gmail.com. I'll get it all straight in a minute. If you want to call in tonight and get involved in the show, you may do so two ways. First way is you can call in live, 727-441-3000. I'll give you that number in just a minute, so grab a pen. If you want to get involved tonight, our engineer will patch you through to us here in the studio. And that number again, 727-441-3000. The other way you can be involved in this show is to text us, and this number works anytime, 24/7, 365, 727-888-4171. That's our text number. Anytime, 24/7, 365, and that applies especially to the Starcom Media Network, and they can text us even though we may not be live. It's fine.
Absolutely, and I am encouraging them to get involved.
Get involved.
Participate.
We want some people to ask questions and or to comment on these things. So we did a question and answer show, and we thought it was such a good idea, and it had such a good reception. We said we will do this from time to time. The questions continue to come in, and we have a few we want to do tonight, and we're going to start right off, and I'm going to give you the question, and then, Doctor, we expect you to come up with all the answers.
Oh, goodness, Woo. The pressure.
Here it is. The first question is, what is the difference between assertiveness and aggression? How do I grow positive attributes from these characteristics? The person who wrote this question ask, and we're not going to give names where these came from. So one more time, what is the difference between assertiveness and aggression?
That's a great question, because a lot of times these lines get very blurred for people. And a lot of times people are a little hesitant to be assertive because they're fearful of coming across aggressive. And aggressive has got a very negative connotation.
It does,
when we think
it?
Aggressive, we think of, you know, strong and overpowering and
controlling, pushy, yeah.
Which is exactly what aggressive is.
Okay.
And so, well, how are they different? Well, Psychology Today put together a really good explanation for that. And so I'm going to kind of take from that to explain this. You know, assertiveness is people who have the skills to state their opinions to others, but they're respectful. They're still open to other people's ideas and thoughts. So they're not forcing. Aggressive is going to force. They're like the bully.
They're going to
force their thought onto you.
So assertiveness, they have an opinion, they state it, and, you know, they're not afraid to state it. That's what you're saying.
Right. So when I'm assertive, I might have a thought or opinion. I'm not afraid to state it, but I'm still open to what you have to say and feedback. So I'm not intimidating you. I'm wanting you to still feel comfortable and safe as I exude my assertiveness.
Okay, that's very important.
Which is very important, yes.
Aggressiveness is not that, is it?
Oh, gosh, no. Aggressive people, you know, they may have the angry stares. They may, they definitely make people feel intimidated. They generally appear to, you know, take over. They have high expectations. They're demanding. They're commanding. That's more of what assertiveness is.
And more of the controlling and the out of bounds behavior. Yeah,
absolutely. They're the forceful people. They dominate. They just sometimes they could just grunt and, you know,
By their body language their stares. I like the fact you said stares. Some people can kill you with an icy stare, right?
True. And we want to be assertive. We want to be able to put forth our needs and our views and say that with confidence.
Right.
We want to say it directly, not have to feel like we're beating around the bush, because then we lose our confidence and we lose our directness.
Right.
And so part of being successful in life is learning to be assertive, but being assertive is also allowing the other person to state their views and their opinions. So we're not trying to take over other people's thoughts.
You're not trying to be a Jim Jones or one of those people that control people with their opinion. You're talking more of just stating it and listening back and hearing back what someone has to say.
Absolutely. And I think confidence is the key to assertive behaviors, because when people are aggressive, they're not usually confident. They're just intimidating to kind of blindside you from the fact that they're really not confident, or they really don't know what it is they're dealing with. And so a lot of times you'll get that bite back, that aggressive, that intimidating, that force, that control, because they really aren't confident.
Whoa. So they're trying to control by intimidating you.
True. And assertive people are confident people. You know, when we talk about topics, I know it's confidence that I'm exuding. And so I'll be assertive and kind of state that out there.
Right.
And so that's the quality we want to cultivate. Good leaders, bosses. And we need to be assertive. We need to be able to state what we need in our relationships and the workplace. And
right.
So many aspects of our life. You know, we talk about communication. We did many shows on it. And
yes,
assertiveness is a part of that communication platform.
Okay, so being willing to express your opinion on something, or say, this is what I need, or this is what I'm feeling, or whatever, but not being pushy and bossy and controlling.
And it's stating what we need without cowarding, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's just in that confidence. This is what I need. I'm not
right.
coming to you timidly and cowardly to state what I need. I'm
right.
saying it in the confidence.
Okay.
That I believe this is what, or my view, or my opinion, or how we can move forth in this. So
the second part of this question, the person who wrote it said, how do I grow positive attributes from these characteristics?
So the positive one is we don't want to be aggressive. So those aren't positive. So we want to be able to feel that confidence and exude that confidence and to be able to state what we need and speak up.
Okay.
And not feel that fear or that cowardness towards that. So it's practice. To cultivate it,
practice.
It just takes practice.
That's how you do it.
Yes.
All right. Okay, question number two. And here it is. I'm going to read it to you. My adult daughter and her child lives with me. How do I navigate parenting an adult child who has a child? It seems like we are always butting heads. I feel like she takes advantage of me by leaving me with my granddaughter at her convenience. My daughter does not discipline my granddaughter, and I have to do that most of the time. I don't want to parent my granddaughter. I want to be her grandmother. Oh, this is a problem across our nation. Don't you feel, doctor? I mean, it's not an uncommon issue here.
Not uncommon at all. In fact, there's a lot of, we have a lot of multi-generations living together.
We
have a lot of grandparents who are raising their grandkids without their children.
Right.
And so this one, it can be sticky.
Yes.
I think I see a couple flags in here for me. And one of the flags I see is, how do I navigate parenting my adult child? When they're adults, it's not about parenting that
right.
adult child. It's more about setting boundaries. If they're living in her house, which it appears that way that they are,
right.
that's her job to set a boundary that, you know, when you leave, you need to make arrangements for your child, or you need to be the one to take the discipline for your child. And instead, she's kind of enabling her daughter.
Yeah, that's what it sounds to me like. That there's
and then she's
an
getting
enabling
overwhelmed.
Going on. Right, sure. And she doesn't want to be the parent again.
And she's not the parent.
She wants to be the fun grandparent. And I get that.
And she should be.
Yeah.
And she's not the parent. So it's really hard for parents of adult children, especially, to learn to step back that parenting role.
Right.
And to kind of let them make their mistakes and let them navigate it. And the same token, it's her house, and so she needs to have expectations of what that means that we're living under the roof, like a roommate. You know, when people go to college and we take roommates and, you know, you need to wash the dishes that you use or you need to clean this mess. We need to do the same thing when we have adult children living with us, if they have children or not. You know, there's common respect, and that's what we talk about.
That's really important because I think a lot of parents have found themselves having adult children move back in.
This is
not that uncommon. But at first, it's maybe they're so glad to have them back under their roof for a period of time, but that newness wears off pretty quick. And then there are the dishes in the sink, and there are the dirty towels, and there is no laundry done. And things, I've heard this from a lot of people through the years. And you're exactly right, Doctor, about this boundary setting. And so you're saying this grandmother needs to tell the daughter, this is the way.
We need to sit down and talk about our arrangements for
this
and what our expectations are for this, because it sounds like we have two different meetings of the mind, and it's more of a boundary issue. And, you know, when we're parents, we're used to just stepping in and doing it and doing everything and taking over.
Yes.
Well, just because our kids become an adult does not mean we lose that want and need and drive as parents. It's something we've had for so many years. And so now that our adult child moves back in with or without kids, we are still kind of just doing that takeover. And we, as the parent, the grandparent, needs to step back and let our kids parent their children.
Absolutely.
And help to teach and model that. But we need to step back. And it's more of this is what we're going to do to live together. Like if we were living with a roommate, you wouldn't want a roommate to live with you and have no expectation of how this is going to work.
So let's tie this into question one. The grandmother needs to be a little assertive here.
Yes, she does.
Not aggressive, but assertive.
No.
And you're living in my house. Here's boundaries. This is what I expect from you. I'm not going to be doing your dishes every day and doing your laundry and disciplining your child.
And if you need to leave the house, you need to arrange babysitting. If I, you know, prearrange it with me or have someone else available, you know, and set those boundaries of the things that aren't working. And if it doesn't work, then maybe they need to set a time frame and to where the daughter can be out on her own with her child.
What about a contract almost, like a set of boundaries? These are what we're going to live by type thing.
Absolutely. You know, my oldest son is an adult. And he's still a high schooler, so he's an adult kid in my eyes, because he's not independent in a lot of ways that we would think of an adult. But still, as an adult, my parenting with him has changed. He works a job. He has school. He has to tell me his work schedule goes on the calendar. It's common respect. I need to know when you're not going to be there. I need to know what time to expect you. I need to know what nights are you eating with us and how to buy groceries. And it's just common respect of how it works. And so it's the same thing for this.
All right. I like this. All right. Question three. If you want to weigh in, comment, or ask a question to Dr. Angel as we go through these, feel free and just call our number live, 727-441-3000, or text us anytime, 727-888-4171. Question number three. I have a group of friends, and we have been a tight group for years. However, two of the members seem to get into disputes about all sorts of things. When these two are disagreeing, the group cannot be together because it ruins the day. They also want the others in the group to know what the dispute is about, trying to get us to take sides. Oh, that sounds like fun. Taking a side or giving my opinion seems to divide the group and cause more conflicts. I love my group of friends, but this is feeling more and more stressful. Can I do anything to change this?
Ooh, this is a doozy.
This is definitely
a doozy. And there's a lot of things kind of going on, because the two friends who are having disputes is kind of ruining it for the other friends in this friendship. And then they're trying to triangulate. And I know I've thrown that word out there. And that's when two people are having a dispute and they try to get someone else into that dispute to
triangle.
Take a side.
Yeah, triangulate.
And it never works, because the person who picks the side at the end is the loser, because it divides more and it causes more stress. And so what I hear this person saying is her friends are being more stressful than supportive when this happens. And so it seems like the support was there, and it's something she doesn't want to lose, but it's going as they're getting into more disputes.
And drama.
So what I have to say is, maybe it's time to take a little break. Maybe it's time to get together as a group of friends and confront these two and say how it makes you feel when this is happening.
Yeah.
You know,
be assertive. We're going back to question number one. Be assertive. State your mind. And
let them know.
This is not working for this reason.
kind of a friendship intervention.
There you go.
And if it doesn't resolve, maybe you're going to have to take a break, or maybe you're going to have to pull yourself out, because you can't change how other people react and respond and behave, but you can change what you enter into.
Wow. So, you know, there are an awful lot of people that love drama, Doctor.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I think it's an addiction, drama addiction.
I do think it is. And I think, yeah. So I think you've answered this great. So can I do anything to change this then?
Well, first I would say, let's be assertive and come together as friends and talk to these two people. Maybe they're not self-aware of what their behavior is doing to other people.
Okay.
And if that doesn't seem to help, then maybe you need to take a step back and just kind of not to have a friendship that's causing more and more stress is kind of overriding the benefit of the support system.
Absolutely.
And so you can kind of pull yourself back from that,
so,
too.
So, again, we're coming back to the A word for today.
We are. I think that's our word.
It is. Be assertive and say what you need and what you don't need.
Exactly.
And what you are willing to tolerate and maybe what you don't want to deal with.
Absolutely. And then there's no shame in taking breaks from things. And sometimes we just outgrow relationships, and that's okay, too.
Yeah, that's hard for a lot of people that still have high school friendships, you know, 10 years afterwards and so forth. But people change and life changes. So.
And it does. And sometimes we have people in our life for times and seasons,
right,
too. And, just because we've been a group of friends for however long, maybe it's kind of time that I've overgrown this, or it's not really a working thing.
Okay. All right, whoever wrote that, we hope that helped you. We're moving on to question number 4 on our question and answer show today on Go Yard. And as always, our resident expert, Dr. Angel, the PhD and licensed mental health counselor, has got a lot of answers here. And so we hope that they will help you. Question 4. This lady writes, I am divorced and my ex-husband is in a steady relationship. I am feeling angry and he has moved on so quickly, and I am still picking up the pieces of my life. We were married for 12 years and have only been divorced 6 months. I cannot even think about dating right now. Should I talk to my ex about how I feel? Ooh. Now, that's an interesting question. Should she talk to her ex about the fact that she's hurting from this quick relationship he is in now?
Well, and it appears to me that she was the one who probably did not want this divorce. And
probably
was
not.
Maybe blindsided.
Yeah, we don't have all the facts. But
I don't know that. However, we need to talk about it, but it's not the ex's problem. The divorce, the relationship is over. That's what divorce is. And each person is free to move on at his or her pace. And you may not like it, but that's what divorce means.
Right.
And so, yes, you need to talk about it, but not with your ex, maybe with a counselor, because you have to work through, you're picking up the pieces, so you have to go through the grieving process and the rebuilding process and going through what you've lost and all the feelings, the depression and everything that comes towards rebuilding so that you can move on, whatever that means.
And it takes a while for some people, doesn't it?
For some people, it takes a long while. And for some people, they can work through it quicker. And, typically, the statistics tells us that men really recouple much quicker than women do divorce or death. Oh, yes. Men, I think the statistics, like 70-something% recouple within a year. So
really?
They do.
I didn't know that
statistic. They recouple very quickly.
Okay.
And so women sometimes take a longer time. And it's not even a gender issue altogether. This sounds like she still has a lot to work through, a lot of pain that's holding her back and that baggage of what happened in that marriage. And before she can move forward, she needs to process that. And I would just definitely recommend that she gets with a counselor and works through, or go to a divorce support group. There's a lot of great support groups and communities, and just start working through that for herself.
And it is a process, isn't it?
It is, but it's not her ex's problem.
That's an interesting point. So if she were to approach him, that can cause a lot of problems, can't it?
Absolutely. We don't know if there's kids involved or not kids involved, but the truth of the matter is a divorce is a separation of relationship.
Right.
So those ties are separated.
Right.
Legally.
Legally. All right. This is a good place, before we get on to our next question, to take a break right here. And we will be back in a few minutes with Dr. Angel, and she's going to have all kinds of other questions, answers actually to these questions. And people, we want you to be to know that you can send in questions. Send them in to goyard2014@gmail.com. Here we go.
No one told you that was going to job's a joke.
Professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or a beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
From the Sunshine State, this is Tampa Bay's Tan Talk.
We never know what engineer Chris is going to come up with the songs during our break, but that's a cool song. Hey, I just met you. All right, that's cool. Let's invite you one more time to call in to our studio right here live if you are in the Tampa Bay area and or listening on the TanTalk1340.com website. You can call in. The number is 727-441-3000. If you are hesitant to call, and we have heard this from some of our listeners, they would rather text. So we generally get some text. And that number is 727-888-4171. Comes right here to my phone, 24/7, 365. So let me give it to you one more time. 727-888-4171. And before we get to our next question, we have had people ask about being sponsors on the show. All you have to do is drop me an email and say, hey, I'm interested. Give me the rates and all. That's very reasonable financially. If you would like to help sponsor this show, Go Yard, and just send me a quick email. I'm Mama Mac, and send it to goyard2014@gmail.com, and I will communicate with you about how reasonable it is to advertise your business or product on our show, and we welcome you to do that. So with that said, we are joined, of course, as we are every week, by our resident expert, Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. Doctor, these are actual questions that have come in to us. And some of them, different ways they've come in. But we do invite you, audience, use that email address that I just gave you, goyard2014@gmail.com, if you'd like to send in one of your questions, or our text number, 727-888-4171. Doctor, are you ready for question number five?
And this one's a doozy.
Yes. And see, you can tell by her saying that she has an idea of what these are before they hit her. But she hasn't really necessarily written out it. She has not written out any answers, no. All right, question five. My sister and I both have children and live in the same city. This lady says, I am married. I am active in my church. I volunteer at my children's school. I try to live to my values. My sister never married the father of her child, works full-time job, and attends night school and lives with our mother. I see a red flag right here. I do not think it is fair that our mom should have to pay to support my sister and her child. She makes her choices, and she should have to deal with them. She made her choices. Also, I feel like I can't visit my mom because I don't want my preteen girls around my sister. I don't think her lifestyle is a good influence on my girls. I feel like I'm being punished for doing things the right way. I guess she doesn't even end with a question. She just basically says, help me.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even notice that.
Help me.
Ooh, this one's kind of a doozy here.
Yes.
Because you know what's flashing is I see a lot of judgment, and there's not a lot of information, so I'm just going to go with what was given, so I'm not going to assume.
Right.
And so I see, like, the sister is upset. First of all, she's judging what mom is doing
right.
with her money in her house.
Yeah, she doesn't like that at all.
She's judging the choices her sister is making.
Right.
And she's feeling, I guess, kind of punished because she thinks she's done them the right way. And right is, I mean, that word right just kind of indicates judgment.
Right,
all, it does. Altogether.
Right.
So that would mean that the others are doing it the wrong way, maybe.
Right.
And so one of the things is, first of all, sister... that you wrote this. Mom has the right to do and let anyone live with her that she chooses. That's mom's freedom and choice to do. You may not like that choice, but that is mom's choice to make and hers only.
Okay.
Yes, your sister has a child and is not married, which is what it is. But it seems like she's working a full-time job and trying to go to school.
When I saw that, I thought, wow, cut her some slack.
Yeah, maybe she just needs a little help to get on her feet again. And it's not like she's sitting on the couch eating bonbons all day. And
no, it doesn't say that at all.
Netflix for 10 hours.
Does not say that.
Not at all. So that kind of concerns me that, you know, your sister did make different choices, but it's okay to be different. It's okay to, if you think it's a different value system, is she still your sister?
Right.
And she still needs support, and she may need mom to help support her a little financially, or maybe she's paying part of the finances that we don't even know.
We don't know that with this. Mm-mm.
But nonetheless, we know she's working, and we know she's trying to go to night school to do something to help herself while she has this child. So it seems like she's really trying. The fact that you're wanting to ostracize your children from her kind of makes me feel like you're not confident in how you raise and parent your kid.
Ooh.
Well,
okay.
We're putting them in a shell, aren't we? Trying to put her children
sure.
in a bubble. And, you know, and you're teaching your kids that we don't need to be around people who are different from us. And
wow.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
I felt really sad when I read this question because... that's your children's aunt. And although
right.
she may have made different choices than you want for your kids, it's still their aunt.
Right.
And that separation,
it doesn't say that she's doing anything.
I don't see that she's
doing anything
drugs
that would harm. No.
Working the bar or
that's
whatever.
That is not said here in this question. It just says she's holding down a full-time job and going to school at night.
And she's a single mom.
So how could she have much influence unless... this woman is afraid that the fact that she's a single mom sends the wrong question.
I would guess that's probably it, because if there was more, I would imagine that this writer would have included it. And so I kind of feel very saddened by the sister who wrote this, that, you know, her judgment toward her sister, her judgment toward her mom, her judgment towards what's right and wrong. And instead of being supportive and teaching her kids that, you know, that's not the choices that I would like for you to make, but we love and support our, you know, our aunt. We're going to love her anyway, even when she does things different from us. Because what you're teaching your kid is if they do something different from what you want, maybe you won't love them.
Whoa.
And you can
that's
really
a
be
huge
causing,
message to
it
send.
It is. But that's the message that's being sent
that's
just by
good.
That separation.
Yeah, that's
and it's
not...
causing harm.
Right.
To everybody. She's feeling punished because she doesn't feel like she can visit her mom. And, you know, she's punishing her kids because they're losing that relationship with their mom, their grandmom, and their aunt. And
so I don't even see here in this question that she's that worried about her mother's finances.
No, she just doesn't think it's fair.
Fair.
And you know what? Life
fair.
Isn't fair.
No, life isn't fair.
So you have to get the fair thought out of our head. It's not fair, ever.
It never will be.
No.
There's just too many things that happen in life that, yeah, not every situation is handled the way we want it to by our siblings or our friends or people we work with.
Absolutely. And maybe if, you know, the sister, I don't know if she's younger, but I just assume that, I guess sometimes maybe the sister who's living with the mom, if she had more support from her other sister, would be able to get back on her feet quicker and would be able to handle the life she needs to handle and be on her own. So
exactly. Doctor, this brings up the question of judgment before we come to the next question, because I think that this really is a problem with a lot of people. That they sit in that seat of judgment about others when they're different.
I feel that way too.
And this lady, obviously, this young girl is different from the way the older sister, let's assume she's older.
Well, we keep assuming they're older and younger just by the way it's written.
Yeah.
But you're right, because she kind of already stated her case of how good she was by being married or active in her church and volunteering. And these are values that she has.
Maybe she resents having done all that.
Sure. So she's almost stating the case that she thinks she's better.
Yeah, yeah.
Just in the start of the way that this question was worded, which that had me concerned to begin with. So, yes, the judgment is really a sad thing. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who do that and feel that way. And it's okay to associate or be close to or support people who have different choices or different value systems. We can still love each other and
exactly
disagree on issues. It's okay.
It is. Yes.
And so I think,
and sometimes it's the love that causes people to realize they want a different lifestyle.
It can definitely be,
you know,
sometimes feeling that love and support and, you know, I want what she has kind of thing.
Right.
That really. And what this one sister is causing is a lot of judgment and division in her family.
It is causing division.
And teaching her kids that you can do things and I can pull back my love from you.
Right.
Which is kind of scary for a kid.
We hope this helps. Caller, whoever you were here. All right, question number 6, and this is interesting. Very interesting. This happened to my own son, so I find this very interesting. This guy says, he writes in, I have been offered a great job with my company. That is what I have worked so hard for. This is what I've worked so hard for. However, the job offer will require my wife and kids to move to a new city. Where we live now, my wife has her whole family, and she is close to them. She has told me in conversations that she would never leave where they live. My kids are very involved in their school and sports. I haven't even told my wife and kids about this great offer because I don't know how to. Now, he does not end this with, what shall I do? He just says he hasn't told his wife and kids. He doesn't know what to do. So I assume he's asking for advice because that's how this came in.
That's how it came in, so...
Doctor, this is interesting, and I think this has happened to a lot of people in our lives where job offers have taken us away from our hometown or our town of origin or whatever the case may be, and it's
absolutely
caused families to have to be uprooted and moved, and that can cause problems, can't it?
Oh, absolutely, and I think there's a difference between somebody haphazardly saying, I never want to leave this town, you know, but... maybe this person doesn't even know that there was a real opportunity, what would be happening. He's just guessing that this is not going to go over because of conversations past that his wife has said, I don't ever want to leave here. But you have to communicate with her first and foremost.
Oh, absolutely. That's what I see, too.
You can't hide that you have a great, because you're going to resent her if you never even give the
opportunity.
There
you go, right there.
We have to put it on the table. You may take it, you may not at the end of the day, but this is a decision between you and your wife to make. And you can't just not lay it on the table because you are afraid that it's not going to be received. We're not going to come across aggressive with this.
Oh,
we're moving now. I have a job offer too bad. But sit down face to face with your wife and lay out what's going on and be assertive.
Right.
And give her the opportunity to, first of all, collect her feelings, because you've had an opportunity to think about this.
Yes.
She will be hearing it for the first time.
Right.
Maybe never even thought that this could happen.
Right.
So you might need to give her some time to collect her thoughts and feelings on how she really feels and process this information.
And not force her into a decision on the spot.
Absolutely not. And I'm going to tell you a key. Before you even sit down, you need to say, I need to talk to you about something important. When would be a good time?
You know, you brought that whole concept up a few weeks back on one of our shows. And like setting an appointment to really discuss issues in life, things that are bothering you or whatever. I like that idea. And I think a lot of people don't do that because they just rush right in to the conflict or whatever the case, right?
They do, and what happens is it makes everything worse because you're blindsiding the other person. First of all, they might not have been prepared to have a serious conversation.
Right.
Second of all, maybe there's other things going on that's distracting. And so when you really need to have a serious conversation or maybe an emotional conversation or just something that we need to focus on, it's an argument, anything. We need to set an appointment and say, hey, I really need to talk to you. It's important. When can we sit down and talk about this? What would be good for you?
Right. Very good.
So first we need to set that appointment, then present the information, then give your wife some time to collect her thoughts and feelings. So maybe come back a day or two later and then be able to really discuss your future with her.
In a situation like this, would it be advisable, I'm just asking you,
okay,
to do this with the wife only and not the kids at the initial?
Absolutely, because this is really a husband and wife decision. The kids kind of live where the kids are they're brought to, and we don't know all the ins and outs about the decision, the city they're at, the city they're moving to. We don't know any of that. And so first, this needs to be between husband and wife.
Communication. We say that so much on this show.
We do. And if the husband doesn't communicate it, he's going to resent his wife because he's already judging what her thoughts and opinions are.
Right.
You know, a lot of times they say, oh, I'm never going to, you know, there's a commercial. Oh, it's an insurance commercial where the guy's like, oh, I'm never going to get married. And this shows him walking down the aisle. I'm never going to have kids. And then they're having kids. And, you know, we say a lot of I'm nevers. And, you know, when reality really hits,
right,
it's different.
It's different. Yeah, that's a cute commercial.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah. Okay. Question number 7. All right. If any of you still want to weigh in on any of these things, or if you want to ask Dr. Angel a question, there is still a few minutes left for you to do that, and you can just text us. That's the easiest. Right to my phone right here, 727-888-4171. One more time, 727-888-4171. Dr. Angel, question number 7. And by the way, while we're doing this show, we're going to do this type of format every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free, audience, to go ahead and send your questions, and then they just go into a pot, and then we kind of pull them out.
Yep.
So go ahead and send them anytime, because we don't know when that next show is that we're going to do it this way. But again, goyard2014@gmail.com. Question number 7, my husband and I have been married for 8 years. Oh my gosh. I'm just reading this. And we have a good relationship for the most part. My husband likes to look at sexy ladies and porn a lot. I have told him that I do not like him to look at porn, but he continues to do it. He tries to be more sneaky about it. It really bothers me. It makes me feel like I am not pretty enough for him. I try so hard to look nice for my husband. I eat healthy. I exercise every day. I dress nice. I fix my hair and makeup every day. I don't understand why he continues to look at porn. Question mark.
Woo. This is a doozy and a common problem, first of all.
It is. And I know you hear that in counseling, and I have through the years also. And it is not as uncommon as we might think.
And it's actually equal to infidelity.
It is infidelity, in my opinion.
Well, that's why I said it's equal, and it is. And that's how it's being taken by the wife in this question, is that she's not good enough. And those are the messages that it's sending, that I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough. And you have to keep going outside the marriage for sexual gratification.
Right.
Even if it's just visual. And a lot of times people downplay it. This is just visual. It's no cause, no harm. There's no interaction. There's no, you know, body fluids, you know, exchanging. But that's not true.
Right. It's not true.
Because you are taking something that's intimate within a relationship and you're taking it outside the marriage. And so I think this couple really needs to go to counseling or to sit down and discuss this. Because it can be an addiction. And
yes.
So maybe the husband can't stop. Maybe the husband just feels this impulse and this need, because it does change our chemical brains. There's a lot of research behind what pornography does to our brains, and it actually changes the way our brains work when it comes to being sexually stimulated.
Okay.
And so I would definitely recommend this couple to seek counseling on this issue, because it can tear the whole relationship
apart. Well, it's only going to get worse, isn't it, doctor?
Yes, it doesn't get better. It's already feeling like it's an invasion, because it is an invasion.
Yes.
And it's continually happening, and it's equalized, like we said, to adultery. So it's like somebody's continually out there seeking love from someone outside the marriage. And so we can't do that. and think we're going to have a healthy, happy marriage. Yeah. And so I would just, this is a, can be a big issue. And
I feel sorry for this woman because she really is reaching out for help. And we're so glad you wrote in, whoever you are, wherever you are. Because she feels bad about herself.
She does, and she's very self-conscious. I mean, she's working, working all the things to kind of keep herself what she thinks would be acceptable, and yet he continues. So she was trying to fix it within herself.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You see that?
Yes.
As we talk about it, she's trying to fix the problem because she felt not enough. She stated it's bothering me, so she kind of talked about it. But now it may be time for a little bit more intervention to kind of...
Okay, you have addressed the porn issue here, but let me go back to this question because she says, my husband likes to look at sexy ladies and porn a lot. So, I mean, it brings up the question, does he do this in public when they go to a restaurant? Does he?
That's a good question.
Because I have heard people that I know have said that their husband does this or their boyfriend does this in public and looks at women and it makes them feel bad about themselves.
Absolutely. And it does make people feel less than and not enough. And so and it hurts the relationship. You're hurting the intimacy of a relationship that you're married and you're valuing. And so definitely an issue that's probably going to need a little more intervention because it can be a behavioral addiction.
Yep, absolutely.
There's more driving it. And it's not one person can fix this. And it's not a don't do it anymore. And they're just not going to do it anymore. It was a learned behavior. They have to unlearn and
they need help. They need professional
skills.
Help.
And that's definitely one for that.
Question number 8. My best friend and I have been really close. She is like a sister to me and our kids are raised like cousins. Recently, my best friend started dating this guy and I am so happy for her. The problem is she has now cut everyone out of her life and only spends time with him. I have called her a couple of times thinking I did something to offend her, but have since found out she's done this with everyone in her life. My kids are always asking when their cousins are coming over. I don't know what to say. I am so hurt that my friend would do this. I do not want to lose my friend. Here's the question. What do I do?
Ooh, this is a good one. And when I read this, sixth grade came to my mind.
Sixth grade?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because this is what young adolescents do when they get a new boyfriend or girlfriend. They
Exactly.
Maybe because they work in adolescent counseling.
Yeah. You do work in adolescent counseling. So
that's very common for that age group.
Sure.
That they kind of ignore everyone in their life while they're focusing on this new boyfriend or girlfriend because that's new to them and it's the most important thing in their world. And I guess they're thinking everyone else can just kind of wait and sit on the back burner so they can feel out this relationship. The problem is this person is an adult and has children and there's a lot of people getting hurt because they're doing that sixth grade mentality of cutting everyone out of their life
right.
so they can focus this time with this one person, which isn't healthy. It's
right,
not going to build a healthy relationship. So it kind of worries me that are they building a relationship that may have some maybe power and control issues underneath? Why are they cutting people out? Is it just...
Right.
I'm insecure and I don't want to lose this person, or is this person, wanting to separate me from other people? Those are some flags when I see separation.
Absolutely. It could be the guy saying he wants her all to himself. I love you so much, honey.
Which
that
is the whole power and control.
That's
There's
the power
insecurity
and control
somewhere
thing.
In this. It
there
could be
sure
on the
is.
Girl's part. It could be on the boy's part. I don't know. But it does hurt. And so what you can do, you can't change it. You can talk to your friend. If your friend's willing to sit down and talk to you, you can let her know how you're feeling. And if you're not the only one, so you did not offend this person, so you can kind of set yourself free with those thoughts. And you aren't alone in this because it sounds like they've cut everyone out. Talking to your kids, that's complicated. Somebody that's been very intimate and close with your family, and now they're not there, and how do you explain that? And you really can't because you don't know the answer.
Right.
And so you may say, whoever this person is just going through a difficult time and we're going to give them some time to work on some stuff. So hopefully we'll see them soon and kind of give them that hope, but not too much information. But we can't ignore it either if they're asking.
No, we can't ignore it either.
I'm a firm believer that we give kids age-appropriate, truthful answers.
Okay, say that one more time and we are going to ring that bell.
We give our kids age-appropriate, truthful answers.
Okay. And why is that so important, Doctor?
Because we need to be truthful and honest with our kids. And if they're asking the question, they need an answer. But they need it age appropriate. So we don't have to give them the whole backstory here. We can just tell them what's kind of going on.
Okay.
And in a way that they can understand and have some kind of understanding.
So we really shouldn't try to shield them, right?
No, we should not.
Okay, we got a caller.
Actually, we got Nan on the line.
All right. All right. Nan, talk to us.
Hey, guys. I just was thinking, kind of part of the scenario of what y'all just speaking about, I was kind of in a situation with my husband that he was so much in control of me that I didn't know what was going on. He was telling my family terrible things about me to try to separate me from my family. And, you know, we kind of compare notes after we separated. My husband and everybody else, we got divorced. And I was comparing notes to my family and found out that's what was going on. He was telling me terrible things about them, trying to isolate me because of his own insecurities. Like my friend would call from work, and I'd go to work the next day, and she's like, you didn't give me a call back. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Well, you were taking a shower, and I left a message. And, you know, then I would question him, and he'd say, I forgot. But it might, part of it might be that it's the guy control, you know.
Absolutely, it can be, and that's true. And I think insecurity is a heart of this issue. If it's on whoever's part, there's some insecurity down in there. And so you're right, absolutely. And that's what flagged me, is I kind of could see it could be room for power and control, or it could be the girl is just so insecure that she's afraid of losing him and wants to devote all her time. But either way, it's unhealthy.
Hey, thanks, Nan. Go ahead. Do you want to say something else?
Nope, that's it.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. That's a good way, I'm glad she brought that up, because it can be that sneaky thing going on behind the scenes, can't it?
Absolutely. And you're talking power and control. There can be a lot of manipulation behind that, because you're right. If your friends loved you, or they would understand that we need to have time together, that we're doing this and doing that, and they're being selfish.
Right.
And so it can be that talk.
When we had the shows on domestic violence, quarterback in September and October, that is something an abuser does, is try to isolate.
When I see isolation, that flags me that. So talking to your friend, maybe write your friend a letter. Maybe she's not taking your calls. Or maybe call her, set up, hey, let's go have coffee. Something. It sounds like they were super close if their kids were raised like cousins. So talk to her and tell her your concerns. And, if she's still adamant, then you kind of have to let her make her choices and step back. But at least, let her know you're worried. And
we appreciate you calling in, Nana, and bringing that other side of that question. That's great. Question number 9 will be our last one. That's all we're going to have time for tonight. And here it is. My family has instilled in me since I was a child that I was taking over the family business. I've tried for the past 5 years, and I am miserable. Whoa. I hate running the family business. It is not me at all. I have been moody with my girlfriend and our son because I am so miserable. I want to go to school and be a teacher. My family told me I was crazy. My job is to run the business. I don't want to upset my family, but I hate my job. And here's his question. What do I do?
Well, this person obviously is an adult, and so we have to make our decisions for ourselves. When we're an adult, we have to be responsible for our choices. We're paying our own bills.
Right.
Sounds like we're supporting, a child and a girlfriend in here. And so what you have to do is what you think is right for you and your family.
Right.
And by family, I mean your girlfriend and your son.
Right.
Obviously, you've given the world trying to run this business, and you're not feeling...
5 years.
Five years is a long time to stick with something you hate. That's a strong word.
Oh,
I
wow.
Hate.
Yes. I hate running the family business. It is not me at all,
and
is what it says.
It's interfering with... So, ultimately, if you continue doing it, it could cost you your relationship with your girlfriend, your
right.
son. And so, you have to protect. That's your core relationship. And so, that's the one you have to protect. And so, if you feel like going to school to become a teacher is what you need to do, then that's exactly what you need to do.
But, I sense, assertive. There we go. Boy, that one question just got wrapped into every single question
didn't it?
At one point, I mean. But I think I hear intimidation. I hear, fear of upsetting everybody.
But this person's upsetting himself in the long run, and he's miserable. And we can't keep putting ourselves somewhere in misery. We have to take control of our life. And so he's going to have to sit down with his family of origin and let them know, look, I can't do it. This is not me. I'm not happy. I'm sorry that you are disappointed, but I'm going to make a decision that I need to make.
That takes courage.
It takes a lot of courage.
And that takes assertiveness.
It does. And when I read this question, I have to tell you, I had a little bias when I was reading, because I am envisioning like this strong Italian family and like the pizza business or something. And I can just see it in my head. And
whoa,
it can be difficult going against our family of origin. But the truth of the matter is you have to, you're responsible for your own life. And so you have to take control of what that is. And you can't let other people run it for you.
Exactly. And that's so important. That and what we're saying this whole show, it seems like it's developed in this show, is that when you have opinions, when you have what you think is best for you, that you need to be assertive, and you don't have to be mean, you don't have to be obnoxious, but you can say politely, this is how I feel about this, like we're saying to this guy right here.
Absolutely. And so I think assertive is going to be our key characteristic this week. Huh?
It really is. Let's learn to be a little assertive. And we can be assertive and be kind, can we not?
Absolutely. And that's kind of the part of being assertive. That's the gracefulness, you know, stating your opinions, but giving other people the freedom to have theirs.
Exactly.
So it is closing up time, Mama Mac.
It certainly is. And you know what? We can still hear from you, even though we are not on the live show. All you have to do is text us at 727-888-4171 or send us an email, goyard2014@gmail.com. Check out our website, goyard2014.org, and we're on Facebook, goyard1340.
Yes, it is. Like us. And it's been a great show.
It has. It's been fun, Dr. Angel.
Keep sending in the questions. Love it.
Yes, send them in. We've got a big old stack of them now. So we want to hear from you. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac on Go Yard, helping you to learn how to hit a home run in life.
Good night.
See you next week.